You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. My conversation from April with California's first Surgeon General continues now. Before the break, Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris was talking about the area she researches and writes about, childhood adversity, and how it impacts the quality of a person's health later in life.
Just to understand this in a very simple way, you're saying that kids who have been through trauma exist on sort of this place of continual fight or flight.
That's right.
And which does a lot of things, kicks up cortisol, changes your biochemistry, and so your body is reacting at a higher level. And then the symptoms of that could end up being ADD, ADHD,
asthma,
all kinds of
poor
asthma,
growth, diabetes, et cetera. Yeah.
So we have to go back. And in your TED Talk again, you call this the, here's the quote, single greatest unaddressed public health threat facing our nation today. That's huge.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. I mean, when we think about the fact that two-thirds of our population, so here in California, 61.7% of Californians have experienced at least one adverse childhood experience. 16.7% of Californians have experienced four or more adverse childhood experiences. And that 16.7% of Californians are at more than double the risk for heart disease, more than 2.5 times the risk for stroke, triple the risk for chronic lung disease. We now understand that early adversity is a root cause of some of our biggest chronic disease issues and our biggest drivers of healthcare costs, right? And not just healthcare costs. When you look at the proportion of, for example, kids in special ed who have experienced adverse childhood experiences, or individuals in our justice system, or individuals who are experiencing mental health and substance dependence issue. For someone with four or more adverse childhood experiences, they're 10 times as likely to be an IV drug user as someone with zero adverse childhood experiences. The ramifications are everywhere in our society, and we have this incredible opportunity now that we understand the drivers and the science behind it to raise awareness, do early detection and early intervention, and we can change those outcomes.
Now let's merge that early conversation we had about your background with the governor and him putting you in this position with all of the arena where your work has been. You are speaking to and representing an entire state, and the issues are, of course, much broader than childhood trauma. Are you at the stage of building an infrastructure for this yet?
That's exactly where we are. So AB 340, Assembly Bill 340, that was passed into law, now requires that all primary care clinicians screen their patients, children and adults, for adverse childhood experiences for patients who are on public insurance, so receiving Medicaid.
How do you reach people, by the way, who don't have a provider, who aren't insured, people who might also be those most vulnerable or certainly fit in some ways this category?
Well, that's exactly, I think, one of the things that the governor and the administration is really taking on and tackling really strongly, because reimbursement for providers is just one part of the solution. The other part of the solution is that the administration is working really hard to strengthen the attacks on the Affordable Care Act, right? And to support health for all, making sure that we can get every Californian with access to health insurance.
So let's broaden this to your role as Surgeon General and what for you are specific goals and priorities, assuming that work is going to be made in this arena of childhood trauma. What else? Where do you have to focus your attention? And what's the expectation in terms of health care in the state?
Really, I'm focused on three things. And I want to say that when we think about surgeons general who have really accomplished a lot, I mean, everyone thinks iconic Surgeon General C. Everett Koop.
Mm-hmm.
And we really think about the bold work that he did on smoking, on HIV/AIDS. And part of the reason for that is, as Surgeon General, I feel like it is a big part of my job is not just to remind folks of the things that we know that they need to do to stay healthy, but also to help folks understand what is the public health crisis that they didn't know existed, and bring that to the surface and align our resources into really being able to address it on a public health level. And really, when you look at it through that lens, I'm very much focused on tackling a couple of issues. I don't have any intention to boil the ocean, but I'm really going to be focused on child health and well-being, particularly focused on adverse childhood experiences, developmental screening, and a lot of the early foundations for health. Also, the science of toxic stress. You heard me say that we see double the risk for heart disease, 2.5 times the risk for stroke, but the science behind that, understanding how any physician or clinician in California should perhaps be treating their patients differently if they have an ACE score of 8 versus if they have an ACE score of 0. Mm-hmm. That science has a tremendous way to go. And that's not just a child health issue. Most of the manifestations that we see in terms of chronic disease really show up in adulthood. So really advancing that science. My other really key focus is going to be on health equity. We are the 5th largest economy in the world, and yet we still have unacceptable levels of inequities in health outcomes. When we look at, for example, maternal mortality, we see that African American mothers are dying at a rate that is greater than 4 times that of Caucasian mothers in the state of California today. That's unacceptable. So really, pushing on these issues of child well-being, toxic stress, and health inequities are really the areas that will be my focus.
You have been in the midst of a listening tour going across the state. So is the picture of the health and healthcare reality of Californians different in any way from the smaller world that you were in, even though San Francisco itself isn't a small world, but Bayview, Hunters Point, and beyond, did that mirror the rest of the state, or have there been surprises?
To be honest, I would say the things that I hear over and over again as I'm going around on the listening tour are surprisingly similar. They are families and communities and organizations and providers really struggling, who feel like they're in the trenches, oftentimes, especially when it comes to the issue of childhood adversity and addressing the long-term outcomes of that. They often feel like, this is what I'm doing, but I feel overwhelmed. And I'm a doctor, and I may be screening for adverse childhood experiences in my practice, but I'm not with these kids all day, and it feels like what they need is more than what I can provide. And then educators saying, hey, you know what? We see these kids in our classrooms, and we're doing our best to provide trauma-sensitive and trauma-informed educational practices, but we don't feel like we're not doctors. We don't have the resources to give them everything that they need. And, you know, so on and so forth. And what I'm hearing is that we don't all need to do everything, but what I see is that these connections and understanding how we can coordinate across sectors to be able to drive towards reduction of poor outcomes, that's the piece that really, I think, needs attention, is this coordination.
What's your vision for where this topic goes? Could you foresee a day when prenatal care involves education about these ACE categories in childhood trauma?
Absolutely. In fact, that's already happening in Richmond, California. Kaiser Richmond already did a pilot on screening for ACEs in the prenatal as part of regular prenatal care. I think that the issue of early adversity and how it affects health, right, and really from a scientific and a biological standpoint, for me, very much, it's a little bit like germ theory. When we realize that infections are actually caused by microbes and not by foul airs, it completely changed the way that we responded. And some of those changes were hand washing, right? Some of those changes were sanitizing our water or pasteurizing milk. And other of those changes were sophisticated, you know, third and fourth generation antibiotics. Where we are now in understanding how early adversity affects health and development across the lifetime, We can begin with a hand washing stage. We can start with simply screening, early identification, and early intervention. And then we can get much more sophisticated as time goes on. But for now, right, there's no wrong place to start.
I think you're saying that someday there's going to be a tipping point.
Absolutely. And I hope that that day is coming sooner than many of us would anticipate. In my mind, it's as clear as day that we are coming towards that tipping point, and California is leading the way.
Very quick final question. A year from now, when you'll have had a year as Surgeon General, what do you hope you might have either accomplished or understood better than you do right now?
Well, I'm hoping to understand some of the resources. This is my first time working in government, so I'm still navigating, understand how does everything work and what are the resources that we can deploy towards these outcomes. And I hope to, by the end of a year, maybe a little longer, maybe it's a year and a half, a Surgeon General's report on adverse childhood experiences and toxic stress in the state of California.
Dr. Nadine Burke Harris, California's first Surgeon General. We have a link to her TED Talk at capradio.org/insight. Her book is titled The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. This is Insight on Cap Radio.